Our passion didn't start with a mouth. It started with people, with the well-being of the profession. And if you're like me, maybe a little bit of your nerdiness in all things tech too. We all want to love what we do, but the truth is burnout, people problems, and glass ceilings can keep us from doing what we set out to do. So let's get back to the heart of connection. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. This show is about passing you the knowledge, the habits, the systems, and the strategies to lead your teams, lean on your tech, and listen to your gut while you take care of people and truly the overall health of our communities. Let's stop using the wrong end of the toothbrush, y'all. My name is Dr. Kelly Tanner. Oh, and uniquely, I'm a dental hygienist too. You can consider me a guru in the dental and leadership industry. With over 3 decades of experience, my goal is to take you to the next level by empowering growth, perspective, and confidence. By identifying the gaps, recognizing the plaque, and extracting the truth with the other experts in the field. I'll share their stories, empower you to own yours, and elevate your passion in the process. So have a seat in the chair, put on your bib, and let's get to work. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. I am Dr. Kelly Tanner, and today, guess who I have back with me? I loved you so much, Tanya, that I had to come get you to come back. Dr. Maestas coming back. She is, as you see, on break from caring for patients and making the difference in the world. But, you know, kind of offline, Tanya, is it Tanya?
You can call me what you like, but it's Tanya. I'm not far east enough in Texas for it to be Tanya.
I know. Okay. I think we've had this conversation.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's cool. I know some Tanyas and some Tanyas. My bad. Yes. But we were talking about a little bit last time when we got backstage about mentoring and just about all the things that you've been involved in and how you got involved and what you think is important to for people to know about that. So tell us, we got to hear a little bit of your story last time about why dentistry, but then what is the importance of being involved?
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for having me back. I'm so glad I didn't scare you away the first time. So super pumped to be back with you and to have the opportunity to chat. But you know, for me, I've always enjoyed being involved in different organizations. And so to transition into dentistry, where there was an opportunity to be involved in some way, beginning as a student with the American Student Dental Association, that really inspired me to kind of continue my leadership and help represent the voice of others, the voice of the new dentist, especially since I'm still a new dentist for a few years longer. And, you know, just find a way to hopefully make a difference in the profession. I know it's very hard. I think that we have many organizations that represent our voice in a variety of different ways, in a, both a positive and negative light, based on a lot of the sentiments that I read online. Mm-hmm. But it's great to at least be there and kind of be in the trenches with others who are seeking to make a difference. And it can be hard. It can be hard to please everyone. I think that we can see that in our own practices. But for me, I have found a lot of joy in getting involved at a local level, on a national level, at a state level. And I have found a lot of fulfillment and connections through this involvement. Many of these connections that, you know, have introduced me to you here today. I don't think we probably would have, you know, cross paths eventually, but it's always nice to meet somebody who is just so stellar like yourself. And I, you know, we had the Dinks to thank for that. And that goes back to, you know, David Rice, and that goes back to organized dentistry. And so it's just kind of all tied for me. And I think that for me as a leader and as a person, as a dentist, I've had a lot of growth because of my different involvements. Man, I spoke a lot there. Stop me, Kelly.
No, you're on a roll. You're on fire, girl. This girl is on fire. Yeah. ASDA, were you a president or an officer or anything?
Yeah. So I was president at a local level at our school.
How did I know that?
Yeah, and then I was national president actually. So I was president for the for ASDA, and I served as a trustee and decided it was the right thing for me to do. And I really loved it. I really enjoyed working with fellow students. And for me, you know, in the long run, on a professional front, I probably will end up in education. Mostly because of the experiences that I had in dental school and the experiences that I had in ASDA. I just really enjoyed working with students. And I mean, we had a lot of fun, and I think that I can really help make an impact there too.
Yeah. So even when you were, so let's take it back when you were a baby dentist in dental school, right?
Yeah.
Before you came out and you graduated,
Did you know that you wanted to be president then, or was it just
no?
Like, oh, let me try this on for a year and see how it's going to be.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to be involved with the organization. I had kind of started following the organization before I started dental school. I saw all the cool things that they were doing. You know, there were opportunities to travel, which was I thought was pretty cool. And so I started getting involved locally, and they call it the ASDA fever, because you kind of just pick this up along the way and you get really excited about the organization. And I caught ASDA fever pretty hard and was really excited about the opportunities that could present itself, was excited to meet different students from across the nation and kind of share our woes with each other. And yeah, it kind of just was the natural progression. I had a lot of support from the school, which was really great. I don't think a lot of schools support their students in that way. I think that unfortunately it's not the norm. So really thankful to have had such great supportive faculty, deans, staff at Houston that allowed me to kind of progress in that trajectory. I think if I would have gone anywhere else, I think this conversation would definitely be different, and my leadership path would definitely have been different as well too.
Really? So you think it came down to a lot with your choice of dental school?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they were, you know, I got some pushback here and there from those who cared about me and really wanted me to be at the school they're learning. But for the most part, everyone was very supportive, didn't give me a hard time, and let me go to the meetings that I needed to go, which was really great. And when I decided to run for president, they backed me up 100%.
That's awesome. So it sounds like that everyone was encouraging. They were
yes,
saying, go, do, absolutely, you should. At any point were you like, I don't know. Do you remember being like that?
No, maybe my first year, because it was really hard. Dental school was really challenging. And so to manage it all, I think was a really big wake-up call for me. I didn't know if I would be able to do both. And I think I had to remind myself the reason that why I was in dental school was to become a dentist, and maybe not to go to every happy hour and to be involved in everything. But again, I felt very supported when I had difficult struggles. I had staff and faculty really there behind me, supporting me. I had friends that were there along the way as well too. And so I think that made it easier. But I also made a personal decision to just really give it all to one organization and not to many. Whereas in the past, and even now, I'm involved in different organizations. During that time, I just knew that I could put all my eggs in one basket, and ASDA was that basket to put it in.
Gotcha. So you were in school. And then how does that work with you being a national president as a student? So you were still a student at that time.
I was still a student. Yeah, I was in my fourth year. So throughout my fourth year, I went out to different meetings, wherever it was needed. We had our two national meetings as well too, and our national lobby day. So I went to all of those. And I had to keep up with my schoolwork. I had to keep up with my externships that we were given in dental school. And so I always like to share that my fourth year spring semester, I was only in the clinic for 30 days. That's all I had. And so I had to make every second count. Every day that I was in the clinic, I had to be seeing a patient. And so that's really where, my colleagues were really, really great with me and sharing different cases that they had just to help me along with my requirements. And, thank God I was able to finish all my requirements by the time graduation came by, and I didn't have to stay into the summer, which is something I look back fondly upon. And we finished up with wards in May, and the rest is history.
30 days?
30 days. That's it. Yeah. 30 days.
What did you do? I mean, okay. So my students, I know.
Yeah. They, so you have an educational background as well too. So you know how.
Yeah. But what do you do when your patient cancels? Does it throw everything off? Like if you have one cancellation, would it have wrecked you?
It would have, but we scheduled our own appointments. So I was on the phone immediately, and I filled every single appointment that I was in that clinic. There were no days off. So I just really hustled during that last semester just to get everything done.
How did you make sure that all of them showed up?
Just calling and calling until they answer and make sure they showed up, kind of pestering a little bit. But yeah, I think that God really was looking over me and kind of just set everything in line for things to kind of flow in that way, because others did not have that same experience. And I was really, really blessed with the population pool that I had, where they were great and, answering their phone calls and coming in, even if it was last minute. So
wow.
I think that, divine powers. Questions I cannot answer, but very, very pleased to have
you're there for
that support as well too. Yeah, here for it for sure.
All right. So then you were national president. And then what did you do after that to get involved? So you graduated and you were like, did you feel like you were dangling or do you still feel like you had support?
So I stayed on as immediate past president for another year. And then I came back to El Paso. So I was in Houston at the time, came back to El Paso and it felt a little, I felt a little lost. I still felt like I had support, but it was just different. I was coming back to a community that I knew I wanted to be in, but a community that I didn't know a lot of the leaders in. And so to get involved there, you know, just a few phone calls and a few handshakes, but it was just different. You know, you start from an area where you feel like you're at the top and you go back to kind of to the bottom. And I'm here to, you know, pay my dues and to work my way up. But it was just kind of really eye-opening where I wanted to bulldoze through all of these other leaders who have, you know, so many years of experience and kind of make my way back to the top. And I was humbled real quick and reminded that that is not the way that things are traditionally done. And so I'm bulldozing, but not as quickly, and really enjoying kind of my time as I continue my way to whatever is to come in the future.
Yeah. Do you feel like that any of the people, well, you went to school in a different area than where you ended up being. And do you feel like, did you ever see any of those folks who are in that component or that area at your school? Is that why it was so separate?
No, I just think that, so, you know, Houston is like 10, 12 hours away from El Paso. So it's just so far away.
Yeah.
And so just different leadership, different people that they had, you know, I interacted with when I was in dental school. I was closer just to kind of the Houston leadership. And I still get to see them. It's just, I'm not a leader with them. And so coming back here, it's just a different set of leaders and different leadership styles, which is fine. But it's just, you kind of had to start from the beginning. And so... Yeah. I did feel a little lost at the beginning, you know, after that immediate past president year, it just kind of just everything ended, right? And you were so used to like traveling and seeing your friends, and COVID didn't help with that either. So I just feel
just
kind of, it was a weird place to be.
Yeah. Okay. So then you got your sea legs and you said, okay, I found some of my tribe here.
Yeah.
And then what, were you going to ADA meetings all along?
Yeah. No, I don't think I was. I think Houston may have been one of my first ADA meeting, aside from the ones that, you know, I attended as a student. I was involved with the ADA Council on Communications. I was appointed through the new dentist committee for that appointment. There was a vacancy and I applied for it. So that was really cool. I did that for 2 years. And locally, I just have been moving my way up. And so next year I will serve as second VP and in 2 years I'll serve as president, which is pretty cool. So I'll be excited. I'll still have been a new dentist. And that kind of was one of my things on my bucket list, was to hopefully serve as the president as a new dentist here. So yeah, I'll still be that. And at a state level, I've been involved in different committees as well and councils. And that's through, you know, through the TDA and also through the Texas AGD as well too. We have great component organizations here in Texas and in the city. And so, you know, I just try and get involved where I can and when I can, and really thankful to have people who invite me along the way and really want to see me succeed, but also know that when I'm present and in a meeting, I'm pretty much there to work and will put my best foot forward. So
there are people who, that's amazing. There are people who would say, okay, what if I don't have as much time as she does? Or what if I'm a little more reserved and I'm not as outgoing maybe as she is? What would you tell those people?
I would really encourage them at least to consider getting involved with your local component. I would say that the sense of community that I have built through the organizations that I have been involved with is really, really huge. And that for me is really a great way to feel supported in the profession, because we all know that dentistry is very, very challenging. It can feel very, very lonely at times. And so having that support network is really great. So even, you know, if you can show up to a meeting or two every quarter or so and, you know, meet another familiar face or see a familiar face that or meet a new face and see a familiar face that you had seen before and just reconnect with them, you may feel like you find that support. And it's hard, you know, I understand, you know, I don't have children, I'm not married, so maybe I have a little bit more time than others, but I get that those other responsibilities are there and those are important. And I think that that's why we see in a lot of organized dentistry where we have a lot of our delegates and representatives who are a little bit older. It's just the right time for them. You know, they've already were able to raise their children. They have an established family and they're kind of just at that point in their career. So I think that it's very challenging and I don't have the full answer for that, but I would encourage that if you're afraid to take this first step, going to a local meeting is really a great way. And just sitting next to somebody who maybe you'll see again, you never know, you may find a new friend, a new colleague you can kind of confide in.
One of the coolest things I think about going to those meetings, because I did similar stuff with the Virginia Dental Hygienist Association. I wasn't president of the national, but I've been on councils and committees for ADHA. And it's such great energy around people who have been through the same thing that you've been through, who have sat for the same exams, who have learned how to hold a high speed or to have a burr and a tooth for the first time. You guys have all gone through that same rigor. And so you have that in common, you have that common thread, so you can all speak the same language. And there's just something magical about that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. And that's what I felt in dental school as well, too. You know, you see people from across the country and you start talking about different requirements and different ways that they're completing things. And it's very, very similar as a dental professional. You're able to go to these meetings and, you know, you're talking shop, as they say, and finding new techniques and learning from these just brilliant minds. Mm-hmm. I always am just so humbled to meet, you know, some of these just key people in dentistry, and just having an opportunity to speak with them is just huge, at least for me. It's really, really rewarding. And it's almost like when you go to these meetings, it's like you're seeing all these dental celebrities, and yeah, getting to meet them and have a little bit of one-on-one time with them is really cool.
That's cool. So I know I hear your heart in that a lot of it is service oriented for you. Mm-hmm. That I've learned as well, and being a part of it, that it's not only the giving of your heart, but it's what you're getting sort of back in return, like you were mentioning with getting to talk shop. But there's something also, I use the word magical, but it really is magical about the things that you learn that aren't taught in dental school and that you can't take a CE course for. It's the networking, it's the connections that you're making. Were you sensing the same thing that you were getting? It's that, and it's not as a connection in terms of, oh, I can really call them if I need this, but hey, how do I do this? What do you do when you come across this?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was almost like one of the most valuable things for me.
Yeah, that's so huge. Just having a network of people that you can reach out to, even just to be like, what do you think? What do you think about this? And just have that sense that you know that they're not really going to judge you. Or, you know, if you're having trouble with something and they can't figure it out, they'll kind of pass it along to somebody else. But I've also really enjoyed, you know, meeting others who, so like Dr. Ashley Clark. You know, she was our pathologist in dental school, and she has become a really cool friend. And a lot of it is because a lot of these meetings and being involved. And so I think that is really cool for me. It's a full circle moment where these mentors and colleagues are now, you know, I'm now able to call them friends because of these connections that I've made and being involved.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then the things I think that you learn about yourself, I 100% am not sure of what my trajectory would have looked like without my professional association, because it pushed me into edges of comfort zones that I was stepping into. And I'm like, okay, well, I just knew that the people who surrounded me, I'm like, okay, well, I have people I can ask. I don't have to know all the answers. I know I can ask people.
Right.
And I feel like that being surrounded by this through all these years, that I've felt supported in a way that without that, I don't know how it would have been. So the first time I ever spoke to an audience was probably 27 years ago. And it was for the Virginia Dental Hygienist Association. I was just like, I want to share this. I applied to be a speaker. They said yes. And you learn a lot about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
But knowing that they were going to tell you like, hey, that was good, or next time do this, but still feeling the love, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Just, it's really nice having that support system and getting that feedback, I think, is huge for self-growth.
Yeah. And I don't know. Because I could think of like opposite, contrast that with a person who isn't as involved, who may be a little more hesitant or reserved about being there. It could take them a little bit longer to get where they needed to because they didn't have that support. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, everyone's priorities are in a different place. And I think that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. I think that, in my opinion, you know, family should always come first. And so if you are raising a family and you want to be there for your family, absolutely be there. I just think that, you know, if you can make small steps in your professional journey as well to make a lot of these connections, I think that you will find in the long run, they'll be very, very fruitful. And even in the short term, even if you don't feel like you can be as present as many others, you will also find a lot of fruitfulness from it. And, you know, there's really just no right or wrong answer. You can be as involved as you'd like to be. For me, it's just been very fulfilling. And I have felt very supportive and maybe others feel support in a different way. And that's okay. But I just think that because of the rewards that I have received from being involved have been great. And I would hope that others would also experience that. And hopefully it's, you know, if it's not now for them, maybe it'll be later on in their career.
Yeah. And then the mentoring aspect now, others mentoring you, and then you being able to carry that forward to mentor others because you know what it's like to look back to, I think is an important piece.
Oh, 100%. I am definitely a product of those who mentor me, you know, those who taught me in dental school. The way that I practice dentistry is because I hope to emulate what they taught me and what they, you know, educated me to be the best dentist that I can, be very ethical. And I hope to bestow that upon the next generation of students. You know, being at the dental school, even half a day a week is just a great time just to see that growth from the students and really hopefully impact the way that they'll practice in the future.
Yeah. There is just this intangible benefit from it all. So looking back and saying to the student who's getting ready to emerge into the dental world, like where should they go to connect and how, like where do they start to connect once they graduate?
Once they graduate, I would go to your local component for sure. Find a leader or somebody you can connect with and see how you can get involved or just show up to, you know, the next meeting if hopefully your component has you know, monthly, bi-monthly, once a quarter meeting, once every half a year meetings. You know, I think that that can be a great way to start. Mm-hmm. And it is also a great way for going to a new city to meet different people because it usually is the same people that show up time and time again. And so it's just kind of just a safe and fun community to be a part of.
Do you feel like that's how you've met some of the folks that you're now connected with? Like you've met Ashley Clark on the other side and David Rice, of course, on the other side and all the people, I say on the other side, you know what I mean? It's like
at
meetings, people that weren't in your immediate circle.
Yeah. I think that for me, my involvement at a state and national level has been more impactful for that than at a local level, but I wouldn't be able to continue my involvement at a state and national level if I weren't involved at a local level. And as they say, you know, if you choose to get involved and you choose to make an impact, you know, in your local association, it's similar to politics. You know, you can make the biggest impact locally than you can on a national level. So at a smaller scale, you really can have a voice that people listen to and you can really make an impact with. So yes, I don't remember what my train of thought was, but yes, I have made connections all over through the three ways, the three levels of involvement.
Because there are some, well, and I guess what I'm thinking too, is that there could be a person who is like you, who has been involved, but then not be in a speaker circle or know some of the folks that, like you don't put themselves in that position to sit there with folks who are the dental celebs and all of that. So how would people go about that and duplicate what you did?
Sure.
Themselves there?
One of the coolest ways that I have met different people would be similar in the way that, you know, I met you, we met each other through a fun little sing along with the Dinks. But oftentimes if I see somebody who I know at a meeting and they're speaking to somebody else, I'll always go by and kind of tap their shoulder and say hello. And 9 times out of 10, they'll invite me into the conversation and I'll meet somebody new in that way. And so I think that that's really cool just to kind of grow my circle of friends as well too and meet different people, very interesting dentists in the world. But that has been a big way in how I've met others is through the introduction, whether it be in person or virtually, just because somebody thinks that we should meet, or it just kind of happen chance and we're there in the moment and the introduction is made.
Yeah. I find that staying open to that and not, because they could say also, hey, how are you, and talk to you later. But usually they are, hey, come over here. Let me introduce you to so-and-so. And Tanya does this and she graduated from so-and-so, and all of a sudden you got a new BFF.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And all of these meetings are always so social, which I know, you know, you just mentioned it can be hard for those who maybe are more introverted. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I love that. I've become a little bit more introverted over the years just because I like a little bit more time at home. But I love to be out. I love to meet new people. I love to talk. It's just fun. And it's a great way to learn more about just, you know, the human interaction, more about dentistry, more about the world. And so for me, that brings me a lot of joy. It can be very exhausting at times, mm-hmm. but very, very fun.
Yeah. Any final words or wrap up about getting involved for our listeners?
Yeah. You know, I think that we all see on different social media pages, people left and right saying things that they are not happy about the profession, things that they're happy with. And I think that on a, you know, legislative level, if you want to make an impact, you really have to get involved. And so mm-hmm. keyboard warrioring can only go so far. And even when you are involved, you come to find that some decisions are difficult decisions that are made. And so it can be really, really hard to fold your cards and come to consensus with a group of people who are making the decisions. But sometimes it's the appropriate move to make for the profession as a whole. So I think that I encourage people to get involved, but I think that you will also find that you will be involved in difficult conversations. And I think that that will allow you to kind of grow and mm-hmm. get to know yourself as a person a little bit more. And so I think that you will find a lot of growth in many ways. And hopefully you will find it very welcoming. And if you don't, we will make it welcoming for you. So I hope that you will reach out to either Kelly or I. And if we can make the appropriate connections, I'm sure that we can make that happen.
Yes. Good words of advice. And I have found it to be true that if someone wants to meet with someone of, do you know someone, that you would make that warm introduction for yes. that person. So just ask if you want to know someone or you want to be connected or you don't know where to turn. We're here to support you. There are a community of like-minded folks who want to support you and love on you to connect you where you want to be.
Yes. The community dentistry is just really, really wonderful. It's full